Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, broadcasting live from beautiful Trout Lake, Washington, otherwise known as UFO and Paranormal Central. We've got quite a lot of events happening around the world, but rather than go into them and take up too much time, our condolences go off to Japan, who had a pretty big earthquake just recently, and seem to be fires and just crazy storms everywhere on the planet right now, and the whole planet is just kind of going bonkers. So I thought, what better guest to help us kind of get a handle on some of all these calamities going on than Jason Rand, the author of Return of Planet X. Jason, are you with us?
I sure am, and James, thank you so much for having me on tonight. Yeah, we're right in the thick of things, aren't we?
We definitely are. Before we start, I wanted to give people your website, and it's www.returnofplanetx.com. And we'll have that up on our website. And also, too, if you want to get the book, we've got an 800 number for you, and we'll have that up on the site as well. It's 1-800-247-6553. And we're going to get into that right now and talk about Planet X and you know, all the information and some of the misinformation that we're getting out there. Maybe we can sort some of this out tonight. What do you think?
I think let's do it. I'm ready to roll.
So what was your first introduction to Planet X?
Oh, that came at a very early age. The story will take about 5 minutes. Do you want to do that and set the stage?
Sure.
Would you like to do that? I was hoping that we'll just do a freelance program tonight. You ask, I'll answer, I'll respond, you respond.
Exactly.
Just let it go, because I want everyone to know you and I have not planned anything out between us, have we?
No, I didn't even get your media package because we've been down here. We've had a lot of...
Oh, you didn't get it.
Yeah, we had power outages.
I bet that's what happened. I sent you give me your email, and I'll get the media package out to you for your website. It's real interesting graphics.
Great. Yeah.
But
we'll I'm sure we'll be back on the show real soon.
Yeah.
After this.
But what I really want to talk to you about, James, is the enormity of the problems that we have of a multiple nature. So what I'd like to do is just tell you a little bit. When I was 11 years old, I was on a big fly-in fishing trip with my brother and my father. Being precocious and being, you know, pretty wild at age 11, I took my dad's boat out without his permission, snuck the boat away, got stuck in a horrible storm. The boat was sinking out from under me. By some miraculous means, an object called a K-POG came and settled over my boat, brought it to the shore, brought me to safety, and then this large ship, probably around 175 feet in circumference, probably around 75 feet thick, saucer-shaped, typical saucer type from the 50s. Are you with me on that?
Yes, uh-huh.
One of the phenomena that I found being a UFO investigator and after becoming a child contactee is that most of these craft all seem to fit a modeling for the period of between the 50s and the 70s. Now, they're changing in shape. They're triangular, they're rectangular, they're actually, some of them are supposed to be octagon, eight-sided craft. Now, I have not seen only one of these examples, and that was in L.A. in 1992. I was on the top of a roof at 2:30 in the morning, and this beautiful, huge, wedge-shaped craft just sailed right over my friend and I, probably no more than 1,000 feet. I could see the portholes and the rivets in it. It was that close, almost like it materialized. And then it stopped right over us and did a slow roll, and we caught all three decks. James, I must tell you, it was one of the most thrilling experiences, but it gets better. As we're looking at this thing, it rolls once, and it kind of like, you know the signal, do you know the signal that pilots give when they want to say goodbye, they roll their wings?
Oh, yeah, they give you the little wing.
Or they acknowledge you with a hello, it's me, and they wave their wings, right?
Yes, uh-huh.
Well, that's exactly what this craft did, only it did it, instead of rolling its wings, it rolled on its axis, up and down,
uh-huh.
up and down. And then we have a time gap problem, because the last time I remembered looking at my watch, and the reason I had that I had done that is that I was looking where the moon was positioned that night. And I looked at my watch with a cigarette lighter so I could see what it was. And I was right where I was supposed to be, you see what I'm saying? So I knew the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's about a 20-minute gap that occurs between the next time I looked at my watch. I think that we were momentarily taken aboard the craft. I think we were probably researched, probably blood samples, urine samples. It all takes flash in about maybe 5 minutes of a medical thing, and then they bring you back down again.
Mm-hmm.
I've had this happen several times because I'm part of a program. But that's not the story.
Mm-hmm.
I first saw Planet X as a child of 11 while I was on board this craft as their guest. And just at the end, we had about a 35 to 45-minute slide program across what you would call like your typical widescreen, like your 42-inch widescreens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Imagine back in 1950. In September of 1950, me seeing a whole bank of these inside a ship. They look just like 42-inch plasma screens. I swear to you, James. And when I first saw them recently, I said, oh, yeah, that's great technology, but they're a little bit late, you know. Okay.
Yeah, you wonder where they got that.
Yeah. Well, this was a ship that had thousands of years of evolutionary technology and mindset behind the construction of it. This was not a normal craft.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we saw this program that the program was absolutely fascinating in that it involved me seeing the evolution and the physical creation of the Earth almost like it was done in animation. It was, when I see animation today, of course, I immediately think of what I saw back then some 50 some years ago. But anyway, what I saw was apparently the creation of the solar system, all speeded up, you know, it was all done like a diagram in motion and in color. And there was sound, by the way, but I could not tell you the type of sound. It was like strings, a little bit like horns, and other things. Anyway, at the very end of the program, we spun into time, and I kept seeing what appeared to be a reddish, planetary-type body that was in some terrible elliptical orbit around the solar system. And when I asked about it, they said that that was the killer planet. That's the exact phrase that my friend Elon, the kid who befriended me on the ship, he said, oh, yeah, you know, that's the Death Star. That's the killer planet. Okay? Write this down, James.
Mm-hmm.
The Death Star. And then the killer planet. When I said, what do you mean by that? And then he said, well, consider this. And then I saw this progression of what appeared to be a small brown dwarf star, considerably smaller now than my first thoughts and estimates, and because I want to let everyone know that I'm always doing continual research from numerous sources that are helping me on this. Incidentally, I would love to hear from anyone who would like to email me with their questions or their proposals or their ideas. I'd like to talk to you guys about Project Blue Light. Real quick mention, we're reactivating the old Project Blue Book activity and scope of their investigation, but with a civilian agency, which we're calling Project Blue Light.
Mm-hmm.
James, would you like to be part of it on the ground floor with us?
Oh, that'd be great. I mean,
okay.
It definitely needs to move on because...
So you're on board then?
Yeah, what's happening up here is just phenomenal.
Oh, I know. I'd like to get all that information piped in. And then what we're also working on is the concept. And I think what we need to do is to go out to your listeners. We're working on a concept for a TV series called, are you ready for this, In Contact.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a magazine-style news format, lot of flash, a lot of animation. It's going to be a total news gathering for UFOs, ETs, natural disaster, political landscape type of reporting. It's going to be very cutting edge. But its mainstay is going to be that it's going to have an extraterrestrial nature to it. Do you understand what I'm saying, James?
Oh, definitely. That's what that's been my dream.
I'm backing down from. Well, you do know that the Pope and the Catholic Church recently said it was okay if we believed in the concept of possible extraterrestrial life.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very important.
Yeah, it definitely
means,
is.
It means we've grown a bit, haven't we?
Yeah. I've never really asked anybody's permission. I've just been doing my own thing for quite
a
long time.
We're not banging on the church tonight. That's not what we're doing.
Yeah.
We're just talking about reality as it was and as it was. Okay. What I saw at the very end of the slideshow presentation, which was like a classroom session, was Planet X, which is actually, we believe, a small brown dwarf star, possibly the size of our own moon.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite substantial. And if we're right, and it is on its way back in to make its first appearance on or about, I would say, September, October of 2009, I think we're already beginning to feel the horrible pre-effects of this planetary body coming at us. I'm going to go out on a limb. The premise of the book is that this incoming body is already on its way, and everybody knows about it. Everybody in power knows about it. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Lots of nations of the world have been preparing, building bunkers and all kinds of stuff. I believe that this dear old planet of ours, James, is about ready to rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the spate of weather is just the tip of the iceberg. Now, a lot of people say, oh, that's doomsday talk. Oh, that's, you know, that's not true. Well, then you give me some better reason, or read my book, cover to cover, 342 pages, James.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll tell you the how, when, why, wherefore, and how to of how I believe we're going to have to face this thing called Wormwood. Do you remember in the book of Revelation?
Yes.
Chapter 8, verse 11, and I'm quoting, and the name of the star was Wormwood. If you read that entire section from Book of Revelation, starting with chapter 8, you will carefully detail how I actually made the connection and made the discovery, and that was what set me into the course to actually write the book that they had shown me all about as a child at age 11 up in the wilds of Manitoba, Canada, on this huge flying saucer craft. By the way, it had a name. It was called the Arcumique. It sounds French.
Yeah.
Arcumic. Very interesting.
You know, I've heard others have very similar stories where they're taken on board, they're showing the Earth, they're showing the full history of the Earth, and it seems the same story keeps coming up over and over and over again with some major cataclysms coming up in the future.
I'm just one, James, of 100,000 or more. I'm part of an in-contact information program. I was a child contactee. I, myself, and may possibly even millions of other children just like me, are already engaged in service for the end times. We're not talking religious thing. We're not talking religion. We're talking service. I happen to be part of an interconnected, ufological reference chamber to people, places, things, information, and resources that what we're trying to do is share the information. I can tell you for a fact, and it's in the book, all you have to do is start with chapter 1, and I will suddenly take you on an immediate ride from the past to the present and into the future of what we can be expecting as this planetary body, I believe, is a small former baby sun to our central sun. And I believe it got kicked out of orbit sometime in about 4.5 to 5 billion years ago when a huge asteroid crashed right through the then existing solar system, which we also believe had 12 planets, much like author Sitchin talks about. He's written numerous hit books about it. A lot of my information and a lot of the understanding that I put together came from his book called The 12th Planet.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote that many, many moons ago, you know. He didn't write that just recently.
Yeah,
that's interesting about Sitchin's. What's so interesting about his writings and his insight and his intuitiveness is that he wrote about things that actually hadn't really happened yet,
mm-hmm.
or had been currently popularly talked about. You see what I'm saying?
Well, it seems to be an ongoing
cycle. He's always ahead
of
the curve.
It seems to this. How often does this planet come around?
About every 3,600 to 4,000 years, our best estimates, and the reason is that there are certain celestial mechanics involved, which I don't propose to understand, because I'm not a mechanical engineer, do you follow me?
Mm-hmm.
All I can do is report all the testimony and all the evidence that I've uncovered. We have 2,000 references in the book at the end of each chapter. All the things that we cite in the author's names, the facts, the figures, the how, the when, the where, and the why, it's all backed up with references. So if anyone cares to check out the information, what we did is we made it easy for, like, classroom situations to put position papers together. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
And I like to offer the book as a teaching tool. So if any of you out there would like to get a copy of our book donated to your library, you follow me? Let's say you're living in the state of Washington, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you have a local library. If you'd like me to donate a copy of our book to your local library, I would be happy to do so, and I will sign it. All you have to do is send me an email.
Mm-hmm.
Can I give it out?
Oh, sure.
All right, because I want to get the book out. You know, it's not just about selling books. Oh, it's good to pay the bills. But I didn't write the book to make money. Believe me, in the publishing business, self-published, James, guess what? You don't make any money.
I know that one. I've got three out there.
But it's important. It's important that we get this information out.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, if someone buys the book, then it helps me to keep the operation going. But I will donate to any, and I need to, in other words, I'd have to have the library email me with their request. We'll send them a postage free copy, courtesy copy, and it'll be signed to that library. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's great.
Skipper. SKIPPER @hotmail.com.
Great. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, anybody can email you if they want to get
it. And I'll be happy to get a book generated out to them. Okay. I want to read you something.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. We've kind of set the premise for what I'm about to discuss with you. All right?
Mm-hmm.
What I want to do is, I want you and I and your audience, I want them to sit back, and if they're listening on the Internet, which I'm sure many are, I want you to just wrap your mind. Here's what I want everybody to do. Let's have a hey, James, let's have an old fireside chat. How's that?
It works for me.
All right. What I would like everyone to do is, if they're in a comfortable position or if they're like in an armchair or something, and I want you to just relax and I want you to close your eyes, everybody. I'm talking to everybody, James, in your audience.
Mm-hmm.
I want everybody to just gently and quietly close your eyes, and I just want you to listen to my voice. It's something I've been trying. By the way, I teach classes, and one of the things we do is a portion of the class that we devote to learning how to concentrate. And one way to concentrate is to shut all the other senses off except the sense of hearing.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me?
Yes.
No touch, no visual, no light, no action. So I want everybody to get really relaxed. Ready? On the count of three, we're all going to relax. Ready? One, two, and three. Okay. I'm going to read you an excerpt from inside the front cover of the book, and it was written almost 2.5 years ago. So I'm just going to change the time frame, and I want you to understand that what I wrote 2.5 years ago is exactly what's going on today, right now, on this show with you on this night. Okay? All right. Quoting from the book, Earth's calendar date in early summer of 2008 finds our fragile blue world in dire crisis. First of all, let's consider the facts of her overpopulation, global warming, a badly depleted ozone layer, rainforest devastation, uncontrollable wildfires, hurricanes, typhoons, storms, tornadoes, rains bringing global flooding, tsunamis, and droughts with Arctic and Antarctic meltdowns, followed by mass extinctions of multiple plant and wildlife species, widespread famines. Are you tracking with me, my friend? All of this that I'm reading to you, James, is happening right now, as we speak. Now I'm going to continue. Then we throw in the mix of deadly disease outbreaks of animal and human origins. We just had this salmonella thing that hit the tomatoes, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know how many people got sick over that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Then we have ever-increasing worldwide earthquake and volcanic activity. Now, with all of this going on, now we've got these patterns of flooding. The Midwest now has been almost totally devastated, and they do expect the Mississippi this time. You know, it's already flooded once this year. You do know that.
Yeah, it was 10 feet above
yeah,
flood
this
stage.
One's going to go about 18 to 25 feet, and if so, it's going to breach the highway system in Memphis, and we're going to have to probably close down, like, all the roads along the riverbank.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want to continue. All of this that we're discussing, James, collectively takes a heavy toll on we humans, the plant life and animal life here, not to mention the billions upon billions of dollars lost now in global property damages from all of the above. Then you add in what? The lost wages, the damage to the economy, and the major consumer disruptions to the everyday needs of its citizens. Guess who still has to pay the burden of the price, James? You and me, and everyone listening. Now, okay, we got it whether we like it or not. Now, I want to leave this section of the conversation with this last bit of insight. Okay? Mother Nature takes no prisoners, James. Mother Nature gives no quarter, and she remains totally, absolutely uncontrollable. End of statement. Throw something at me, my friend. I don't mean to cut, you know, I don't mean to make it sound like a bad day.
Yeah.
But guess what? It is a bad day. It was a bad day all through Iowa, hasn't it been? It's been a horror for the last 48 hours. And everybody's telling me, well, you know, it's just a normal weather pattern, you know, they change now, man. Please.
Yeah, the denial is just unbelievable.
Let's not insult the average person who can figure it out by reading a newspaper, reading a magazine, that there's something really wrong with the weather this past, last summer, last fall, this winter, ran into summer. Did we really have spring? I don't think so. It went from kind of weird, funky winter directly to tempestuous early summer, did it not?
Yeah, we had the same thing happen up here in Washington, and
yep.
Then it went back to winter again, and then now it's back at summer.
Yeah, you guys just had snow on Mount Rainier, wasn't
it? Yeah, it's all over the place. It's just crazy weather.
Well, there's something wrong, James. You know, I'm not the harbinger of bad news. The bad news is already here. I'm just reporting it. You follow me?
Well, you know, it's undeniable. If you look at the problems, you know, the insurance claims, everything, all the statistics. If you look at the increase in earthquake and volcanic activity, the severe weather, the hurricanes, the tornadoes, everything. If you just look at the statistics, you know, it's expanding exponentially, and it's not getting better, and something's behind it.
All right. What I'd like to mention, if I can get another quick commercial in here, the last three chapters of the book talk about everything that the public should know about what the government knows, what they don't know, what they're going to do, and what they're not going to do. I've approached it very scientifically, and once again, it's loaded with references to where I got my information. I believe that we may be subject to a very nasty retaliatory attack just before the election. I think, and God, I hope I'm wrong, that there's going to be an attack inside the country just before the election to cause everybody to go freaky. I just had to take a sip there of water.
Yeah.
If I'm right, what we better do is we better get ourselves prepared, because if they're going to interrupt the elections, it might go to martial law. Now, wouldn't that make sense?
Oh, definitely.
Okay, now, I'm not proposing that this is what's going to happen. I'm just saying, if something... All right, what if we get a major earthquake? Okay, let's leave the terrorism thing out of it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What if there's a major natural disaster? You know, collapsing of the Mississippi bridges or something terrible. Won't that change the complexity of the election now, won't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to take billions of dollars to reconstruct and get the country back on its feet. Okay. What I want to do is, do you offer, you're not, do you get call-ins?
Yeah, we do. I'm going to wait till a little bit further into the hour.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because what I'm saying is, if anyone has any questions, jot them down, and I'll be happy to answer as many questions as I can during the time that you allow for it. Okay.
Great. Yeah, I've got a couple questions of mine.
All right, please fire away.
Okay, now I think it's Dimitrov. I'm not sure of his name, but he's talking about our whole solar system is glowing. It's leading edge, the heliosphere, as it's moving into this new, highly energized place in the universe, seems to be glowing 1,000 times brighter.
Are you talking about going into the galactic shift?
Yeah. Yeah. Are you aware of this situation?
Yes. Okay. And I think it's even much more than just that. I think it's very complicated, but I don't know if we should try to tackle that one tonight, because that's another whole hour.
Well, it seems that there's so many things going on, and they're all kind of coming to a climax at this time.
Yeah, because what I think is happening is we're now beginning to feel the very, very early fringe electromagnetic dimensional changes and frequency disruptions coming from this planetary body, and it's affecting, I think, everything. It's affecting our sun. Remember, whatever affects our sun affects all the planets that are under the sun's control.
Mm-hmm.
Would that not have to be an axiom to understand?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Whatever affects the sun, like sunspots or solar flares, that affects all the planets under the influence and domination of the sun. And we're the third rock from the sun.
Yeah.
So we're pretty close. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like a big electromagnetic X-ray frying thing, you know. We could get fried.
Yeah.
If we're not careful.
We have that in our movie, Contact Has Begun. We have a whole scene, and we don't really talk about it too much, but we talk about the solar maximum and solar cycle 24 we're moving into. And
yes.
But the graphics
you know,
in there
this
are amazing.
The cycle's not been normal so far.
Mm-hmm.
Are you aware of that?
Of what now?
The new cycle that we're entering.
Yes.
Okay. Nothing about it leaving its old cycle, going into the new one, there's nothing normal about it. It's very erratic.
Yeah, it's like
totally
calm. There's
something wrong with it somewhere inside the sun itself.
Yeah, it's completely calm. There's nothing happening. All of a sudden it just busts loose out of nowhere, and then it goes back to...
Yeah, because it's changing its frequency. See,
mm-hmm.
There are forces out there that affect the sun. Do they think that the sun is not affected by outside influences?
Mm-hmm.
Of course it is. It's a planetary body subject to all the rules and the laws of the cosmos.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we don't want to get too technical here, do we?
Okay.
All right. Go ahead.
Well, that was. It seems like you know, we've got the crazy solar cycle, and like you're saying, that's going to affect everything. And I've always tied in the solar flares and the coronal mass ejections to the increase in earthquake and volcanic activity, you know, as well as the
absolutely
crazy
storm. Absolutely, it's a finger of energy. It's a power point reaching out, and what blows out from the sun has to have an effect here.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's even more deeper than that. There are forces that are affecting. These same forces are now beginning to affect the inner core of the planet. And I believe that our core is beginning to spin faster than normal. You know, even a small frequency change in its speed creates more heat.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that what's happening is the magma chambers underneath all the major volcanoes, I think, are being pumped up.
Well, it's definitely overheating. You know, the Earth
is
overheating.
And that's why I also believe that the oceans are warming. It's because the inner part of the Earth is warming, and of course it's radiating upward. And at some point, it's going to go through all these thousands and thousands of feet of whatever the materials are, and eventually that heat is going to get to the bottoms of the oceans.
And they're just now starting to talk about all the thousands of volcanoes going off underneath the ocean is just might have something to do with El Nino.
It's all in the book, James.
Everything I'm just going, that we're talking about,
my dear friend.
Yeah.
This is so cool. Everything that you're talking to me about is in the book.
Uh-huh.
We cover all of that. All the volcanoes.
I'll have to send you my book, too.
We have statistics that go back 100 years on earthquake patterns, and tornado patterns, and hurricane patterns. It's a real interesting read.
Yeah, in 1981, I wrote my books, and they talk about the prophecies, and they talk about the expanding sun and the increase in earthquake and volcanic. All this stuff is mentioned that I wrote back in 1981. It was going to come to a big crescendo here. But, you know, and after I wrote it, I go, what the heck am I doing here? You know, I'm setting myself up.
You were kind of a visionary there, wouldn't you say that?
Yeah, and it's all unfolding right on time. And I would get visions of the, I'm on record, actually, of the San Francisco earthquake. I hit that one right on the button. And the Seattle quake we had up here.
Uh-huh.
I went on Jim Berkland's site, and I told him, you know, this thing's going to bust loose this week, and it did. We had a 7-point-plus quake
there. Well, James, I think you could agree with me that we're living in a very interesting, challenging, and could be dangerous time.
Oh, definitely.
Now, what you and I and all of your listening audience does about it is another thing altogether. We can keep our heads in the sand. We can continue to be ignored by the media. Believe me, it's very difficult. If anyone has any idea to help me, I need to get on some major TV shows. Mm-hmm. If any producer is out there listening to me, I need your help. No, seriously, James, it's really hard to crack these news shows.
Oh, I know. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I'm trying every favor I can get and every technique. So if anybody can, imagine me begging on the radio. I love it, right? If anybody can help me get a small TV show, I'll think. No, what I need is some serious exposure. And this book will take off, James. It'll take off like a scared rabbit, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Everything that you ever wanted to know about today and tomorrow and the future is in the book. Now, how's that for a byline?
Yeah, that works.
That works. And how about how to completely save your life in time of natural disaster and what you can do about it? And then the last two chapters are about self-preparation and all the emergency goods. I give you a list of food and water and quantities of special foods. I give you where to buy these foods. Sort of like a survivor's help guide.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, on the front cover, it does call itself a natural disaster survivor's manual.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So this is a learning tool. That's why anyone who requests one for their local library, and if I can verify it, I'd be really happy to send their library a free copy. Everyone should read this book. James, grandpas and grandmas and great-grandmas and grandpas and little kids and aunts and uncles and fathers and mothers and teachers, everybody needs to read the book. Not meant to scare anybody. It's meant to tell everyone that, hey, yo, there's something really, really wrong going on around the world. It's not just us, by the way. There's floods and tornadoes and earthquakes all over the place.
Oh, yeah. Japan just got hammered here, I think, with a 6.9 the other day.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, what we got going on here is a failure to communicate. Remember that movie with Paul Newman?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I need to start communicating. I need to get the word out. So if anyone can help us get any interviews, listen, maybe you can, you've got some friends in radio, right? Maybe you can help me get some more radio shows.
Uh-huh.
I just need to get the word out. And
yeah,
once they read
I understand.
The book, they'll go, oh, yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to send you that media package.
Okay.
So all you need to do is email me your address, and I'll get this package out to you even.
Yeah, I'll definitely do it. You know, my feeling is is I was talking to this other friend of mine, Michael Knight, who has the Earth Change report.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a great report.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And I've been helping him with that. And he's actually one of the co-producers of the movie Contact Has Begun.
Uh-huh.
Does he have a show? What's that?
Does he have a show?
No, he just has the newsletter, but I've had him on my show, and I've had him on...
Well, why don't I write a little article for his newsletter?
Oh, that would be great. I think he would love that.
Could you ask him to give me a call so we can discuss it?
I'll definitely do that.
All right. I'd be happy to, everybody.
Because
I've written a lot of articles for the X-Zone publication.
Yeah, I was talking to him about that, and I said, well, what are your views on Planet X? And he says, well, I love what he said. He said, basically the planet's just turning upside down. And we can't deny the fact that the poles are melting, and we are probably going to go through a partial pole shift just to the poles alone and everything else. And he said, so by the time you get to Planet X, it's a mute point, you know.
It's good news to know that he certainly agrees with me that the Earth changes are suddenly happening in serious ways.
Yeah. But he wants to know more about plant. He wants to research more about it. He wants to know more about it, and so that's what I was.
You want me to send him a book?
Oh, I'm sure he would love that.
Well, why don't you just have him contact me?
I'll do that,
and I'll get a book right off to him. Now you have my book. Did you get my book?
No, I didn't.
You didn't get that. This is not right. I think there's something going on here. I think there's a conspiracy involved.
You know what? I'm losing about 2 out of 10. Things I send out lately in the mail. It's just been insane. And a lot of people are getting their mail, and it's been opened. And it's already been opened, and almost every time customs opens it.
Yeah.
And there's definitely something going on because, you know, I talked to the postmaster about it, and they said, you know, that's crazy. You should have gotten the package back. It just doesn't disappear in the mail. I said, well, it is disappearing in the mail, and this is about, you know, 2 out of 10 packages going out.
No, they're being intercepted.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I mail them from different places just to see, you know, if there's a mole.
They still find you.
Yeah, oh, and they still disappear.
Well, listen, what I'd like to do is this. Do you want to take some calls now? Is it about time?
Yeah, we can take some calls.
If anybody out there has any questions on anything we've talked about, or you got a thought about the future, you want to interject a planet, I'd like to hear from it. Anybody out there will respond to you.
Yeah, let me give the call-in numbers. We've got the main line is 877-876-5227. We've got the Canadian line is 888-815-9756, or the direct line is 530-876-3222. And they're on the website. Most of the listeners are actually on their computers. So if you just go to the main page, it's all there. And, I've got a few other questions for you. One was, what do you do with, there's this woman, you know, love her dearly, beautiful woman. And, she's so plugged into LA. And I told her, I said, I've had visions of that whole area, San Francisco, LA, and I don't even want to talk to you about them. It's not pretty, but you're going to have to change your lifestyle and start rethinking. And she said, I think if I couldn't have the city, I'd rather just die. And
really?
Yeah, and I go, well, is your life Yeah. We've got a caller here. So,
okay, let's
hear. Well, welcome to BBS. Can you give us your name and where you're from?
This is David from Santa Monica, California.
Great.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks. I just tuned in, and I'm guessing that you're talking to Jim Sparks. Is that right?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's Jason Rand, but they have a similar story.
Yeah, I was going to say it is a similar story. Well, I got a couple questions. The first one is, your guest has conscious contact, right?
Yes.
Okay, and you do too, James, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have, but it seems to me you said it. I think I've heard you say that it's been blocked by the government.
No, the physical, from the physical craft coming here.
Yeah,
we're being highly watched because I've gone so public, and we have constant surveillance going on here, and jets and black helicopters, and we've got them all on film, buzzing us on a regular basis. So the the physical contacts have quit, but the telepathic contacts are still ongoing.
And the physical contact has quit because of the surveillance? You think they just don't want to deal with it?
It's too dangerous for people on the ground and myself. I mean, there's a price to pay for doing what we're doing.
Huh. Okay. And Planet X, I don't understand why, if there are so many powerful advanced civilizations that I'm assuming have the kind of powers that the physicist Michio Kaku talks about, that have, you know, sun, powers of sun, that kind of thing. You know what I'm talking
are
about?
Are you asking why they don't do something or help or interfere?
Yeah, why don't they just divert the course? Why are they letting it happen?
Well, I'll give you a reason that I think is very, very basic.
Okay.
And I'll cop the same line that they did in Star Trek, that you don't break the prime objective, okay? This planetary system is going through is not just the Earth. Our entire solar system is going through a change. So they have no right, nor interest, nor enough power to change what is coming. What's coming is a cosmic realignment, far beyond man, far beyond our comprehension of cosmic things that happen without our control, okay? You can't stop an incoming body like this. And if it's not a brown dwarf star, then it's some kind of a smoldering, very nasty, very big asteroid that causes problems. But there's something incoming, okay? Now, they can't do anything about that, nor should they, because they have no right to. We are citizens of this planet. Whether we like it or not, sir, we're here during a time which is most important for our own personal development and our spiritual upliftment, but also the spiritual cleansing and cleaning of this planet. Every 36 to 4,000 years, it gets a chance to shake whatever on it off.
Yeah,
I know that sounds kind of crude, and it doesn't sound very
nice. Yeah, I mean, to me, it's in the same order of you see a little child stepping out on the street, and there's a truck coming, and you go, oh, well, this child needs to be cleansed, and I can't interfere.
No, I never used that analogy.
No, but I am, because that's what it boils down to. Because
no, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Listen,
yeah. Okay,
listen, they don't own us. They're not our captors. They're not our teachers. They didn't create us. They didn't. My people didn't say that they created us.
Right.
They
believe in
a God force.
I didn't create a child that's walking across the street. I'm still going to stop, pull him out of the way, do something, divert the truck.
What if I told you? Okay. Now I'll cross over to your side of the fence here in this discussion. Yes. In my book, I discuss the fact that I believe there will be millions upon millions upon millions of people selected and lifted up into what could be considered, which I don't call it, some kind of a rapture,
right,
where I believe pre-selected people who have either earned the right or are of the right mind or right spirit, whatever it is,
mm-hmm,
I think there'll be a huge evacuation before the real nasties begin.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that we're playing out the Book of Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, we are now approaching the sixth seal,
mm-hmm,
in time. And these seals are coming open very rapidly. By 2009, the planet will be in total earth change upheaval, which,
mm-hmm,
is called for in Scripture. And it gives the dates, the times, and the places. So I think that everyone out there listening would understand that I believe we're playing out the end times. This is not a religious thing, and I'm not, no denomination involved. I'm just telling you that biblically, it squares.
Mm-hmm.
And when I find things that square with certain ways or understandings or patterns in the Bible, then I begin to realize that the information I'm dealing with is true, and it's valuable, and it's God's word that I'm actually working with.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tall thing to say, but I'm working a large part of information out of both the Old and the New Testament. Of course, I give references for all of these things that we talk about. I don't just throw the reader into a quandary, wondering, well, where did he get that from? Mm-hmm. So I'm telling you that I believe we are now rapidly approaching. We've opened the fifth seal, the problem with the grains and the oils and the fuels and all of that. And we're now going toward the sixth seal. There's only seven seals total.
Mm-hmm.
When that seventh one goes, that's when all hell breaks loose from above the earth. The locusts and the plagues and the earthquakes and the storms and all that bad stuff. Long after, I believe, that millions and millions and millions and millions of people will be safely uplifted by the ETs.
Mm-hmm. Do you
agree
with that?
That's what I believe.
That idea that there'll be this the sort of an ET-type rapture?
Yes. But I only use that word because people respond to it. You follow
right.
me? There's no.
Sure.
It does not appear in the Bible. The word rapture does
right.
not appear.
Yeah, it's just people.
A similar exercise is described by Jesus, but not called a rapture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know, I've always felt we have the ability to bilocate and do all kinds of amazing things, and it's all about, you know, making that choice to, you know, ascend and go to the next level. And we can, you know, a funny thing happened in Hawaii. I was at a big Hawaii conference there, and mm-hmm. I brought in one of the beings that I work with to initiate everybody in this group. And during that initiation, we had a pretty good-sized earthquake that just shook the heck out of the hotel. But there was 12 of us in this group, and not one of us even knew it happened. We came outside and everybody was outside freaking out, you know, going, I can't believe it. And we said, what? And they go,
oh, so in other words, the earthquake happened, but your group experienced none of its effects.
No, we didn't experience a thing. We didn't even know it happened.
Huh.
And we just felt some real heat, a lot of energy, and we just kind of moved out of that frequency for a minute, then it hit, and then we came back and nothing happened.
Wow.
And there was quite a few witnesses that saw that, so I think it is possible if we really get our act together and focus on, you know, get your eyes single and get it focused on your making your own personal God connection, whatever you want to call it, we can, you know, avert some of these things, and we'll also be guided to leave certain areas because certain areas need cleansing. And there's one other thing I want to say, and I love what this one teacher said. He said, you know, if you have a cut on your leg
mm-hmm.
and that cut is going septic, And you're looking at that cut and you're going, you know, I've got to do something, you know. And so you get your hot iron or whatever and you
mm-hmm.
pour it on there, or your Bactine or on that cut. Mm-hmm. You know, you just wiped out millions of life forms, you know, all these little bacteria and,
oh, yeah.
and creatures. You know, you just wiped out that whole colony there. And are you going to stop if they're praying, you know? If the bacteria
you're going
praying,
a little, you're going a little esoteric on me here,
yeah,
and I love
if they're
it.
Praying for no, don't do this. No, you're going to want to save the whole organism, and I kind of see that's what's happening right now is that people aren't going to stop driving those gas guzzlers. They're not going to stop polluting the air and the water and the ocean. They're not going to, you know, end their lifestyles, and those lifestyles are so detrimental to the planet, and just the way we behave as a collective, the energy around that is actually harming the planet's energy, you know, energetic grid system. So it's actually drawing these experiences. So
here's what we got to do. Here's what we got to do. We got to, first of all, get prepared, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I've written a book called The Return of Planet X, where I take you through all of the dynamics of what's happening today. Right now, in the headlines, I've got whole chapters devoted to what's going on. If anyone would like to order a book, I'd like to have them call 1-800-247-6553. That's 800-247-6553. Okay? My website is Skipper, S-K-I-P-P-E-R. No, I'm sorry. I'm going to give you my email.
My email
is Skipper, S-K-I-P-P-E-R, .2012. At hotmail.com. Okay, now, my website. I really think that everybody would get a real kick out of the website. They can see the front and back covers of the book. They can see some beautiful graphics about the planets and solar system and some of the things that are going on, especially out of the book. So, the website is www.skipper, returnofplanet-x.com. It's a hyphen between the T and the X. So it's www.returnofplanetx.com. And it's a great, it's a fun thing. And by the way, if you email me, I promise I'll get back to you. Whoever it is out there, I promise I do answer my emails. I'm a little late because I just got back. By the way, I went to the book fair in L.A. Got to tell you about this real quick.
Okay.
It was fabulous. And guess what? I'm not the only book out there on this. There are about 20 or 30 books on Planet X. But I'm so happy to tell you I'm number one at Amazon.com. Okay.
Great. I've got one.
I wanted to
question.
Get that little commercial in there.
Yeah,
you know?
That's awesome. Well, that's why you're on the show, because you're number one.
Oh, I appreciate that. So listen, I want to. We're getting short on time, right? We got a couple. Well,
yeah, we got just a couple minutes left.
What I want to tell everybody is this: this is not a time to freak out. This is not a time to get anxious, and this is not a time to be afraid. This is a time to read the signs, understand what's going on, listen to the news, listen to the weather bureau. If you think there's a storm coming your way or the possibility of a tornado, for God's sake, take cover. Do the right thing. Don't play a hero.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get caught in a natural disaster, what you need to do is you need to have a game plan with the family before the disaster strikes. Like, where are you going to meet? Who's got cell phones? You know, where are their flashlights? Who's going to take care of Mimi the cat and Jake the dog? You follow me? You got to have plans. If a sudden flood comes, like what happened in Cedar Rapids, they had exactly 18 minutes. Isn't that awful?
Yeah.
They had 18 minutes to gather what they could because the levee broke.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's all in the book. I give you the who, what, when, where, how, and why. I tell you what we can do about it as individuals, as a community, as a nation, and then as a group, which I loosely call the United Nations.
Mm-hmm.
I have a problem with that, but that's not the subject of this show, right?
Yeah, it could be a whole new show.
No, that's another whole show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We'll definitely have you on again.
Oh, I'd love to come back. So listen, everybody, this is a time to figure out what's going on, get prepared. You can take an individual approach to this, which will teach you what you need to know on Return of Planet X. James, I want to really thank you, man. I really feel we had a good talk tonight.
Oh, I think it was awesome.
And it was totally unrehearsed, right?
Oh, yeah. My brother just had a dream. He called me up last night, and he said, you know, I had a dream, and I saw a wave coming, and he lives in Santa Cruz, California.
Oh, he's not in a good place.
Yeah, and he said that...
Oh, not in a good place.
Yeah, and I've been praying that he would have the vision, that they would send him the vision, so obviously
he
finally
sounds like he got his vision. Now, what's he going to do about it?
Yeah, well, I think he's on his way out of there. So,
okay. By the way, they have a great little amusement park right on the ocean.
Yeah, I used to live there for 6 years.
Oh, I know. I
and
loved
it.
I had a friend that lived there, so I visited. So, bye-bye amusement park.
Yeah, I saw the wave, you know. I saw the big wave come in and everything else, and I said, you know, I think it's time to get a little high ground and just on the safe side, you know.
Well, the fires are just tearing up Santa Cruz right now.
Oh, yeah,
it's
terrible. He almost lost his house.
Poor people.
Yeah, he almost lost his house. He had fires on both sides of him, one across the valley and then one coming up on the other side, one right after
another. So did he make out okay?
Yeah, he's fine. He got out of there all right. But,
great.
His house is fine. So,
So James, you're going to email me with all your data. I need your mailing address. I need any email addresses and whatever. I'll get the package out to you as soon as I have your address.
Great. And I'll put all your information up on the
website. And then give me some phone numbers. I need to set up my communication. I need to get you plugged into Project Blue Light.
Okay, I'll send you all that information, and I'll put all your
information. Listen, do you want me to email you the Project Blue Light stuff for your website? I want to send you a big package.
Okay.
And then you can use what you like and share with what you want.
That sounds great.
James, thanks, buddy.
Yeah, it's about time all this comes out. I mean, we've got to get this networked and get it out there, and I'll do whatever I can to...
Any help that you can give me to get the word out, it's not really about selling books. It's about getting the information out.
Definitely.
But the way I get the information out is to sell the book, so that's why I have to work at it.
Believe me, I know that one. I'm self-published, too. And
there you go. But listen,
I
I'm serious about the library thing.
Uh-huh.
If anyone out there contacts their library and has their library, just email me, you know, with their credentials and their ID, then I'll go ahead and I will get an autographed book sent there free of charge to that library.
Great.
Okay.
Very, very
big or small. Big or small.
Yeah. Well, we're running out of time.
Okay, buddy.
Running out of time. So,
James, thank you again. Thanks everybody for listening. I hope we have a return date with you, and I look forward to it.
Well, definitely. I'll have you on real soon here because I want to get into more of the dynamics of this, and there's a lot of unanswered questions.
Okay, buddy. I really appreciate it. Where did the hour go?
Yeah, it just flew by.
Okay, buddy. Thanks again.
All right. Well, take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, thanks, everybody, for listening. We're signing off. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, another awesome interview, an awesome guest, and... Boy, these guys never cease to amaze me. We've definitely got to have Dr. Rand back on again and get down to the dynamics of this. And also Google around. Look around and see what you can find, you know, on the Internet about Planet X, because there's a lot of footage being released supposedly by the Vatican, and their, you know, astronomers are releasing this information, leaking it out, and they seem to have found it, and it is heading in our direction. So if these videos are true, then we need to start preparing for it. But anyway, other than that, just focus on love and joy and bliss, and don't let the fear creep in. And, you know, I always say act with loving detachment, but act. You know, do something even if it's wrong. So anyway, have a great evening. Good night. James Gillen signing off.